reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 24. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterwards, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king!" When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord gave you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lift my hand against my master, because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life."
Byddai dy'r arglwydd farnu rhyngom a dial arnat, ond ni fydd fy llawi arnat. Fel y dywedir hen ddeharyb, o drygionis y daw drygioni, ond ni fydd fy llawi arnat. Ar ôl pwy rhaid brenin Israel, pwy ti neu ymlyd, ci marw, chwanen, fe gaif yr arglwydd fod yn ddyfarnwr a barnu rhyngom a'n gilydd. Caiff ef chwilio a dadlau fechos, am rhyddhau o thlaw. Wedi Dafydd orffen llyfaru fel hyn wrth Saul, meddai Saul, "Dafydd y mab, a'i dylais ti hwn?" Yna fe dorodd allan i wylo, ac meddai wrth Dafydd, "Rwy ti yn fwy cyfiawn na mi, herwydd rwy ti wedi talu da i mi, a minnau wedi talu drwg i ti. Ac rwy ti wedi dangos mor dda fios teg ataf heddiw, pan oedd yr arglwydd wedi fy rhoi yn dylaw, a thithau'n ymatal rhag fy lladd. Pan fydd rhywun yn dod ar werthaf ei elin, a yw wneud adael yn rhydd, byddai dy'r arglwydd dal i nôl i ti'n hael am hyn o wneud os dim i heddiw. Ni o'n bellach mae ti sydd i fod yn frenin, ac y bydd teimnas Israel yn llwyddo dan at. Tyn gen i nawr yn enw'r arglwydd, na fyddi'n difa fy hil ar fy ôl, nac yn dyleu fy enw am teulu." Tyngodd Dafydd i Saul, yna aeth Saul adref, a Dafydd a'i wir i fyny nôl i'r lloches.
Good morning. It is lovely to be back with you all again today. I wonder, before we get started, would you just like to pray with me? Oh, Father God, we do thank you for the precious gift of your word. We thank you for the privilege of living in a place where we can read your word and sing your praise openly and without fear. We thank you that we are afforded the freedom to worship together online like this and in person. And so, Father, we do pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit. Would you move among us now as we explore your word, Lord? Would you challenge us and equip us and encourage us and transform us, Lord, so that we might love you more and serve you better. Amen. Now, I'm guessing that lots of you will have heard what I'm about to say before, because it did the rounds on Facebook a while back, but I was reminded of it this week. So imagine for me, just for a minute, if you will, that you are holding a cup of coffee and then somebody else comes along and they knock your arm or they bump into you and they make you spill your coffee everywhere. And the question is, why did you spill your coffee? Because someone bumped into you, right? Wrong. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. You see, if there had been tea in the cup, you would have spilled the tea. Had there been water in the cup, well, you don't really put water in a cup, do you? It's weird, water goes in a glass, but you get the point that I'm trying to make. If there had been water in the cup, water would have spilled out. You get the idea. Whatever is inside the cup is what spills out. So therefore, it goes on and it makes the point that when life comes along and it shakes us, when we're rattled or we go through a tough time, that whatever is inside of us is what spills out. And we can fake it and pretend that we're different until we're shaken. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's inside my cup? When life gets tough, what is it that spills out? And I think this question of what spills out when we get shaken or rattled is really at the heart of today's reading. You see, David is in this cave and he's hiding out and he gets rattled by Saul turning up in the very cave. I mean, they're in a cave. There is no way where for them to go. And in this moment, David comes pretty much face to face with his enemy and he's shaken. And what I think we see spills out of him tells us a lot about his character. You know, David is a good and a godly man. So surely the first thing to fall out of David will be love or something equally righteous and holy. But no, the first thing that we see fall out of David when he's shaken is temptation. You know, they're in the cave and David is presented with this perfect opportunity to get in first and kill Saul before he kills him. You know, Saul is right there. He's on his own. There is no one to save him. David could kill him and be done with it in a matter of minutes. And you know what? David thinks about it. And I don't know about you, but I am a little bit heartened by that. You know, often when you compare David with Saul, it's really easy to think that David is this perfect man who only goes around and does what God says and he never does anything wrong. But here in this moment, we are reminded that David is just as human as the rest of us. And you know what? Quite frankly, why wouldn't David think about killing Saul? And he's got his men right there and they're encouraging him to do it as well. You know, they were quite a lot excited about the prospect of David killing Saul. And I think if David had killed Saul, do you know what? I dare say that there is not many of us who would hold it against him. I mean, God has already promised David that he's going to deliver him from his enemy. You know, maybe this was a God-given chance for him to kill Saul. And even if David didn't kill Saul for himself, like he could have always let one of the soldiers do it. You know, one of them would have been more than happy to oblige and he could have stood back and said, well, I didn't kill Saul, but who am I to stop one of my soldiers? He could have claimed it as self-defense, perhaps. In fact, I think there are probably 101 different ways that David could have justified Saul dying in that cave on that day. And yet, along with the temptation that fell out of David, fell out the strength to resist the worldly voices around him. And it meant that David refused to use any of those excuses. And instead, we see his complete and utter obedience and trust in God. Now, I know that David couldn't have actually read the book of Romans. But his behaviour here, it just lives out the words, doesn't it? You know, don't overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with good. And so, not only does David not kill Saul in that moment, he stops any of his men doing it as well. And it's important for us, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but when we're faced with people or situations that we struggle with, often it's so easy, isn't it, to give in to the temptation and deal with things in a worldly manner. It's really easy for us to say, oh, well, I don't know, give as good as we get, or to justify our actions with phrases such as, well, they're only getting what they deserve. Or perhaps, well, I'm right and they're wrong. And of course, my personal favourite for when you do or say something mean about somebody else. Well, I'm only being honest. And yet, that is the exact opposite attitude to the one that we are called to have by God. We are called to be like David, to resist the temptation to react in a worldly manner, to not listen to those around us that would encourage us to do the wrong thing. We need to remember that whoever our enemy might be, they are made in God's image just as much as we are. Whoever they are, Jesus died for them just as much as he did us. And God loves them just as much as he loves us. And it's difficult, isn't it? But when we start to do that, when we look at people in that way, we start to be able to look past the hurt that they've caused us and to see them as someone who is created by God. And so David is shaken, and out comes temptation and resistance, but also humility. Now, as we see, as we know, David doesn't kill Saul, but he's not squeaky clean either, is he? Imagine the scene, if you will. You know, David listens to all his men. He's there and he gets up under the cover of darkness of the cave and he sneaks over to where Saul is. And I think at all this point his men are going, yes, he's gonna do it. And then, no, he actually just secretly cuts off the corner of Saul's robe. Yes, that's it. David thinks, I'm going to teach him a lesson. Nothing says I beat you like cutting off the corner of a man's coat. And let's be honest, Saul's, you know, having a wee, so he's probably actually taken his robe off and put it on the floor. So it's even more kind of, you know what, I'll show him, I'll cut off the corner of his coat, a coat that he's not even wearing and is so far away from him, I can do it without him even knowing I'm there. Yeah. That'll scare him. Now, I don't know when David got up to go over to Saul whether he actually was going to kill him. But somewhere along the line, he doesn't do it. Because you see, David knew that God had promised him. He knew that he was going to inherit the throne of Israel. He knew that Saul stood between him and that promise. But he also knew that killing Saul would be the wrong thing to do, that it would go against God's way. He knew that whatever Saul had done, he was still the anointed king of Israel. David wanted the promise to come true, but he also wanted to go about it the right way. And so he goes for the corner of the coat rather than the jugular. And I don't know about you, but do you know, I think that level of being able to resist temptation and being that obedient deserves a medal, not a confession. But David's humility brings him to confession. You know, he just cut off the corner of Saul's robe, but we're told his conscience troubled him. Because you see, the robe was a symbol of Saul's royal authority. And David felt bad. You know, the fact that he had done anything against Saul meant that he had gone against someone who had God's appointed authority. And so here, David's humility shines through. And I don't know about you, but often when I'm the wronged party, I seem to lose all ability to accept that I have ever done anything wrong in my life. I am the one that is in the right. And yet, when we come up against our enemies and we're shaken, so often it's easy to think that the fault only lies with the other person. It's difficult to be humble enough to say, well, you know, I might have done or said something that I shouldn't have done as well. Often we're so busy taking the moral high ground that we forget that we too are sinful human beings. And in this moment, we see David's humility. Actually, Saul might not be doing what's right or good by God, but David wasn't either. And it brings him to confession. And sometimes we need that too. As we come face to face with our enemies and in troubled times, we need to be humble enough to acknowledge that we're not perfect, just like them. And just like them, we need God's love and forgiveness. So we're going to take a bit of a break now, and I think it'd be really good for us just to stop for a moment and to come before God, to humble ourselves before him and to acknowledge to him our own failings and shortcomings. And so before we sing again, Kai is going to come and he's going to lead us in a time of confession. So when David is shaken, we are heartened because we're reminded that he's as human as the rest of us, because the first thing that falls out of him is temptation, but it's quickly followed by a resistance to that temptation and a display of his humility. And then finally, out falls goodness and grace and his desire for reconciliation. After everything that David's been through with Saul, he would totally be forgiven for killing him, or for even just hiding in the cave and doing nothing and waiting till he's gone, or going out and unleashing some kind of bitter tirade of abuse at him. But again, David does none of those things. Instead, he goes out of the cave and he goes out to Saul and he calls out to him. I mean, of all the seemingly stupid things for David to do, not only does he not kill the guy who's been trying to kill him for ages, he actually calls out to him like, "Oh, Cooey, over here, come kill me." I mean, okay, fair enough. Those might not have been his exact words, but he calls out to the Lord. He calls out to Saul. He says, "My Lord," and he bows down to him. Now, it doesn't take a genius to work out that David took a really big chance when he did that. He essentially surrenders himself to Saul. Because, well, I think he saw an opportunity to show Saul the goodness of his heart. You know, he comes to Saul and he could have tried to treat him as an equal. I mean, they are both anointed kings of Israel. Saul has got the throne now, but it is coming David's way. He could have said, "Look, Saul, from one anointed man to another, let's talk as equals. I've just spared your life." But that's not David's attitude. Despite Saul's really appalling behaviour, he still respects his position as the leader and the king of Israel. He respects whatever he's done. He respects that Saul is anointed and called by God. And that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I really don't like to respect the people who hurt me. You know, I think it's hard to think of people who have hurt me as called and anointed by God. I mean, not called to hurt me, but called and anointed by God nevertheless. And yet, if David trusts in God for his protection, he makes himself totally vulnerable to Saul. I mean, Saul quite literally could have killed him so easily in that moment. But David trusted that if he did what was right by God, then God would protect him. And so I think we see David then talk to Saul and he says to him, "Look, why do you listen to all these people who say that I want to hurt you? You know, I don't want to hurt you and I never have and I never will." And he shows Saul the cut-off corner of his robe and he says, "Look, I had my chance and I didn't take it." And look at the grace that just flows out of David. You know, he puts the blame on these nameless people. You know, these people, you know, Saul could admit that they got it wrong. He didn't have to admit that I got it wrong. You know, even in confronting Saul, David is showing him the grace of covering his sin. And I don't know, perhaps other people would disagree with this tactic. Maybe they would say, "No, David should have just laid it all out there. He should have told it like it is. He should have put it on the line and told Saul exactly what his faults were." And yet, to some extent, David does this, but he does it in a way that allows him to show grace, mercy, and kindness to Saul. And you know what? In that moment, David totally fulfills the words of the proverb, doesn't it? When it says, "Love covers all sin." And again, later on in words that Paul will write, where he says, "Love will cover a multitude of sins." David knew that Saul wasn't above criticism or rebuke, but you know, he shows us that these things have to be done with humility and with the hope that in them God will change a person's heart. Because I think in all this, David knew that Saul didn't need to hear David's words or David's voice. He needed to hear God's voice. And I think maybe he did. Do you remember back, I think it was chapter 15, somewhere around there, Samuel challenges Saul about his disobedience to God. And basically they're essentially having a bit of a row. And as Samuel goes to walk away, Saul grabbed him. And as he did, he tore off the corner of Samuel's coat. And it's at that point that Samuel says to him something along the lines of, he says, "You've just torn my robe. And just as you've torn that, so God is going to tear the kingdom of Israel away from you." And I just wonder if in seeing David there with the corner of his robe, if Saul is reminded of those words that Samuel said to him. And that is more powerful than any words that David could have said. You see, I think David uses just enough words, and then he trusts that God will do the rest in changing Samuel's heart. David seeks a reconciliation with Sam with Saul, and that's what we should do. It doesn't always feel natural for us to seek reconciliation with our enemies or with people who have hurt us, but we're called to have the courage to do it. And I think David's actions are really helpful to us here. First he confronts Saul's paranoia. You know, he says to Saul, "Why do you listen to what other people are saying?" And often isn't that so much the case in the conflicts that we have? They're all wrapped up in gossip and hearsay. And if we go to someone first and seek reconciliation, then we're cutting all those middlemen out. And we can be truthful about our own desires and our motives, just as David was with Saul. And we can do it without all the gossip and other people clouding the issue. And of course, running through this whole thing is the trust that David has in God. When he was shaken, ultimately what came out was his trust in God for everything. His trust that God would keep him safe if he did what was right. He trusts completely that one day he will be the king of Israel. But he trusts God for when the timing is right. And what's the upshot of all this? Well, David and Saul come to an agreement. David's humility and grace that he shows Saul leads to a softening of Saul's heart. And granted, it is short-lived for Saul, but that's not always the case. When we're shaken, what falls out of us can have a profound effect on other people. How we respond to a person or a situation has the power to change hearts. It has the power to enable others to see something of God in us. And yet so often when we are shaken by things and the curveballs that life throws at us, what comes out is fear. And we end up sacrificing our own faith or sacrificing the way that God wants us to live. But if we're like David, if when we're shaken, what falls out is the resistance to sin, is humility, is goodness and grace and love, then we have the power to see lives transformed and claimed for God. But here's the thing. Only what's put in can fall out. If we want godly qualities to fall out of us, then we got to put the godly stuff in. And that means we've got to be people who take our discipleship seriously. You know, we can only be true to God's word if we know what it says. We can only trust in God if we know what his promises are and about his faithfulness. We can only do the right thing if we're following the example of Jesus. And so today I pray that we would be people who root ourselves in the Bible. I pray that we would be people who stick close to God in prayer. I pray that we would be people who wouldn't be scared to surround ourselves with people who make us better versions of ourselves and people who keep us accountable to God. I pray that we would be people who would take our own walk with God and our discipleship more seriously than ever before. I pray that we would be people who would humbly come before God and seek repentance. And I pray that we would be people who would seek to show love and mercy to everyone, even those people who hurt us. And I pray that we would do all these things so that when we are shaken, it is the transforming love of God that falls out of us. Amen.